Hi, everyone. I am really excited to be here. Thanks for asking me to teach, Jerry. Let's start in 1 John. So I'm going to be teaching on the rights that we have as sons of God, so our sonship rights. And I know some of you have heard 500 teachings on sonship rights, but, you know, do you live what you've heard? Do you live these rights and apply them in your lives? And have you claimed them and practiced them? And when people look at you, do they know that you're a son of God? Because we need to make sure that we don't fall into the trap of mental assent before we even start. And as we're going to all of these verses, make sure you ask yourself if you're just agreeing with them or if you actually believe them and you walk out on them. And we saw a lot about believing last night with Chris's teaching. We have to make sure that we're taking action on these verses and applying them to our lives, because when we do, we're going to have really awesome lives. Because this stuff, this is who we are as sons of God. And it's really important that we know that if we're ever going to do anything for God. So let's start in 1 John chapter 3. This is a pretty awesome verse. Well, they all are, but, you know. So 1 John chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 1. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So this is our identity. It says that now are we the sons of God. When we believed Romans 10:9, we became sons of God and we got this new identity. We're completely new people now. So we need to forget the people that we used to be. And at fellowship last Tuesday at my house, Rosie Mitchell shared this really awesome example that I want to share with you guys because I thought it was cool. So I hope she doesn't mind. Do you mind? Okay. So she said that when somebody buys an old house that's like all broken down and they knock the entire house down and they build a completely new one, when they move into that house, do they ever think about the old house that they knocked down? Why would they do that? They have this really awesome house now that they can live in and enjoy. And that's how we are. Like, when we became born again, we got rid of that whole old man thing that we were doing, and we became new people. We became sons of God. And now we need to forget about all of our old ways and all of the things that we used to do in our lives, and we need to focus on what God has made us and the things that we have as sons of God. So how do we know? How do we find out what we have? Well, I Googled it, just to see. I typed in, "Who am I?" in the Google search, and the first link that I found was a link to Oprah's website with a quiz on it called "Who Are You Meant to Be?" And I was like, all right, that's close enough. So I took the quiz, and it had questions like, "Because my interests are so wide-ranging, I often burn the candle at both ends." What does that mean? I don't know. But anyway, so you were supposed to answer with, like, never, rarely, sometimes, often, or always. So I took that. And anyway, according to Oprah, this is who I am. "You are an intellectual. As a leader, you're often ahead of your time. As an employee, you try to surpass the confidence level of peers, even managers. Incisive and curious, you're driven to deeply understand how things work. But that's things, not people. Oh, your family and friends are important. It's just that you don't need to spend hours engaging with them. Social validation isn't your goal. You're secure enough in your cerebral pursuits." What? I mean, Chris. Christina can tell you because she lives with me. I have parties all the time. Like, I can't even do homework by myself. I have homework parties. So, you know, I respect Oprah, but she doesn't know me. Like, you know, according to verse 1, it says, "Therefore the world knoweth us not." The world doesn't know who we are as sons of God, and they're not going to tell us that. So, you know, Matthew 10:30 says, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." We looked at that yesterday. And Psalm 103:14 says, "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." And 1 John 3:20, you could actually just go right down to that. It says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." So God knows us better than we know ourselves, and God knows us better than the world knows us. You know, he's the one that created us. So we should just go to God for who we are. We should look at the Word, because he gave us this Word so that we can know who we are as sons of God. So let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 20. It says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." So this word conversation means citizenship. And our citizenship is in heaven. We're citizens of heaven. And as citizens of heaven, we have certain rights and privileges that we didn't have before. And so I put together a Bill of Sonship Rights, I called it. And we're just going to go over 10 things that we have according to God's Word as sons of God. And there's so many more, but we just don't have time to look at all of them because, you know, that's pretty much what the New Testament is about. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. The first one we're going to look at is access to God. And this is a really important one. Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 12. All right, Ephesians 3:12. "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." So we have boldness and access with confidence. When we go to God, we can be confident. It's not like we're praying and it's like, "Okay, God, if you're listening, you know, I'd really just like this right now." No, we can be like, "God, I need something, help me." And he will, because we have access with confidence. Turn to Psalm 91. God is just so excited to hear from us. This is one of my favorite psalms. It's a really good one. Psalm 91, and we're going to read verse 15. It says, "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." So when we call upon God, he answers us. It's not like, you know, we call upon God and he's busy all the time and we have to leave a message or talk to his secretary or something. We can just call upon God and he'll answer us and he'll deliver us and honor us and be with us in trouble. So he's just waiting for us to ask him for help. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him." So God's just looking for people to come to him. He's looking for people to talk to, and he's given us this awesome access to him. Like, do you realize how amazing that is? I mean, we can talk to the creator of the heavens and the earth anytime we want. That's so awesome. And he actually answers us. It's not like we're just talking to a cell phone and there's no one on the other line. Like, God's listening, and he's just waiting for us to talk to him. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians. So that's access to God. And the second one we're going to look at is righteousness. And we've read this verse, but it's still really cool. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So 2 Corinthians 5, and we're going to read verse 21. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So that first he is talking about God. "For he, God, hath made Jesus Christ to be sin for us." So we have the righteousness of God. And righteousness is just being able to go to God without any sense of sin or guilt or condemnation or shame, any stuff like that. But I like to think of righteousness as the quality of being right. And that doesn't mean that you can say, "The Giants are the best football team in the world, and I'm righteous, so that means I'm right." No. It means that you can go to God as if you've done nothing wrong. Because Jesus Christ paid for our sins so that we don't have to own them. They're gone. It's like we never even had them. And, you know, the world is constantly trying to remind us of our past. And we have a right to ignore that because we're righteous. So the past is not what defines you. God's word is what defines you. And this is the only thing that you have to pay attention to. You don't have to listen to what people say about you or what you say about yourself. Just listen to what God says about you and tell yourself that. Like, give yourself the word, which is what my dad taught. You know, we need to apply this stuff and get our information from God and not from our senses. So this verse tells us that we're as righteous as God. So how righteous is God? He's pretty righteous. I mean, you can't get any more righteous than that. And in God's eyes, you're just as righteous as he is because of what Jesus Christ did. So are you going to believe that? Are you going to walk around acting like you're as righteous as God? Because you are, so you can claim that. I mean, don't feel bad about it. If you don't believe it, then you're telling God that what Jesus Christ did wasn't good enough for you. And that's kind of like a slap in the face. Like, Jesus Christ gave his life for you so that you could be righteous. And we need to believe that. Because when we do claim that in our lives, we can do amazing things. You're not going to do anything for God if you're just walking around feeling guilty all the time. So claim your righteousness, because that's your right as a son of God. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. A lot of these verses we've looked at already, but they're important, and we need to look at them again. And you're just as righteous as everybody else. So, you know, you can do anything for God. Anything that he says you can do, you can do. You don't have to be a certain age or get to a certain righteousness level or something. We all have the same righteousness. So Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 6. And this is peace. We have the right to peace as sons of God. So Philippians 4, 6. It says, "Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Do you ever get stressed out? Do you ever worry about anything? Because I'm sure we all do. But why? Why would we ever worry about anything when we read these two verses? That's not what God wants for us. So, you know, verse 7 doesn't say, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus," unless you're a student. Unless you have a job, unless you're married, unless you have kids. No. I mean, in my Bible, there's a period right after Christ Jesus. Like, do you have a period there? Do you have a period? Yeah, okay. So that means that we don't ever have to worry about anything ever again. And that's amazing. All right, I'm going to show you how this works. Everyone, close your eyes and think about something that you're worried about or that you could potentially be worried about. Just take a second. Okay, now pray about it and thank God that He's going to take care of it. That's the prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Okay, now open your eyes. Now, whenever you think about that thing, then pray and thank God that He'll take care of it, and don't worry about it. Just give it to God and forget about it, and He'll take care of it, and then you can enjoy that peace that passes understanding. Like, you don't have to understand how God is going to take care of it, or, you know, you don't have to understand the peace, because it says it passeth all understanding. You just are peaceful and you don't even know why. And that's awesome. And I tried this during finals last week. You know, Jerry was saying yesterday that our brains must be fried, but mine wasn't. Because, you know, I had a lot of stuff to do, but I just prayed about it. And I said, okay, God, just take care of me. And I was completely peaceful. I had a lot of fun. I think finals week was, like, the best week for me out of the whole semester. And, like, I didn't get stressed out at all. And I ended up doing really well on my finals because God helped me. It wasn't because I was so smart or anything. God just told me exactly what to do, and I did it. And it was really awesome. And I got all A's so far. I didn't get two of my grades back yet, but I'm sure they'll be fine because God's awesome. But I'm going to try this for the rest of my life, too. And you guys should, too, because it's a really awesome way to live. Let's turn to, same chapter, Philippians 4:13. So that was peace. Now we're going to look at how we can do all things. So Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So that's, we can do all things according to God's word. Does that mean that He can give you the strength to be prosperous, to do well in whatever you're doing? Yeah. Does it mean that He can give you the strength to help someone with a need? Yeah. To speak the word to someone, to heal someone, to perform miracles? We can do all of those things because of what Christ did for us. Like, we have so much power in this world. And last night we looked a little bit about the 9 manifestations. But if you want to check that out again, just read 1 Corinthians 12. Like, we can do so many awesome things because of the power that God's given us. Let's see. Yeah, so we can do all things. That's a pretty awesome one. The next one we're going to look at is in verse 19. Figured we'd just do a triple one here. This is a really cool chapter. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So we have the right to have our needs met. All of our needs. It doesn't matter what it is. Do you need anything right now? Do you need a job, a car, a place to live, friends, money for school? Do you need wisdom? Do you want to understand the word better? Because God can do all of those things. It says right here, He shall supply all your need. There's no maybe in there. It's a guaranteed thing. If you go to God, if we access our right to have access to God, then He will supply all of our needs. And we don't have to worry about it either. We can just tell Him what we need, be peaceful about it, don't worry, and He'll bring it to pass. So, big things and little. I think a lot of times people are afraid to ask God for the little things because they think, oh, I can take care of this myself. But you can't. I mean, God will do a much better job than you ever could. I remember one time God made me a sandwich. And, like, He didn't, I mean, I'll tell you the story. Anyway, so this one time I was working on a teaching for fellowship, and I had just finished it, and I was really hungry, but I didn't feel like going to the dining hall because it was raining and I didn't want to eat there because it's just not good sometimes. And like, I was just overwhelmed by a lot of things. I wasn't practicing the peace of God, so don't remember that part of the story. Anyway, so I was just really hungry and I was laying on my bed and I was like, God, I'm hungry. Feed me. And it was just like my desperate plea for help. It was really sad. But anyway, like a minute after I said that, my friend Zane walked into the room and I said something about being hungry and he was like, oh, well, I'll get you one of the sandwiches I have in my room because I just went to this event today and they had all these extra gourmet sandwiches. So I'll bring you one. I was like, thanks, God! And I just started crying because it blessed me so much. Because, you know, God cares about, like, all of those things, even if it's just a stupid thing like a sandwich. Like, God is so awesome. He meets all of our needs. So we need to put this verse into action. If you ever need anything in your life, just ask God about it. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. One time, God gave me more chapstick when I needed it. And chapstick is pretty important to me. I'll tell that story later. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, this is right where we were before. All right, we're going to read verse 18. And this is our right to speak God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. So we were given the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation. And that just means that we are able to bring people back to God. We're able to bring back that which has been separated. And this is our privilege. This is our right. It's not a job or a burden. It's something that God has given us the right to do. And it's amazing, because when we speak the word to people, we get super blessed too. I think a lot of times when I'm talking about the word with people, I get more blessed than they do. Because it's just so awesome talking about the word, and we should be excited about it. Because people aren't going to want to hear the word from us if we're not excited about it. So we need to really put this into action. We need to exercise this right that we have. And when we speak the word to people, we're just making God's dreams come true because he's always wanted to have a family. And when we speak the word and make his family bigger, that makes him so happy. And we'll definitely get blessed by that too. So it's a really awesome thing to do. And sometimes it does seem scary at first to talk to people who you don't know. But there's no fear in love. And if we actually love those people, if we want the best for them, then we won't hesitate to give them the word. Because that's the best thing that they'll ever hear. And the people that we talk to will get blessed, and we'll get blessed. And there's just blessings everywhere. It's really awesome. So we definitely need to take advantage of that, right? Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. Number 7 is complete. We are complete. Where's Colossians? Oh, here it is. Colossians 2, verse 10. It says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. God made you complete. Your body, soul, and spirit. So last week when I was at school, one of my friends came into my room and he looked kind of upset, so I asked him what was wrong. And he said that he felt like something was missing in his life and that he didn't have something that other people had. And he was right, because he didn't have God. He didn't have a relationship with God, and he didn't have spirit. But we never have to feel that way, because we are complete. When we got born again, God gave us spirit, and we got this awesome relationship with him. We got all of these rights that we can access, and, you know, we're lacking nothing. So we need to make sure that we don't get tricked into thinking that we're lacking something, because God made us complete. And you don't need anything else to be complete. You don't need to find a soulmate. No one's going to complete you, because God made you complete. I don't know, people are stupid. Anyway, let's go to John chapter 10. People are just looking for things in this life. They're looking to be complete, but they don't know what it is that can complete them. But we do. So we need to tell them. John chapter 10, verse 10. The next one is our right to an abundant life. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." So this word abundantly means exceeding some number or measure or rank or need, over and above, more than is necessary, superior, extraordinary, surpassing, and uncommon. This is the kind of life that we can live on this earth. We can live a superior life, a life that's over and above, more than is necessary. Are you living an abundant life right now? Because if you're not, then that's not what God wants for you, and you need to fix that. Our lives should be awesome, and there's no reason why they can't be if we're claiming these rights that God's given to us. So we need to just make sure that we are reading God's word and we claim these rights that he's given us so that we can live an abundant life. And people will see that. They'll notice that we have more than other people have, that we're happier than other people, and they're going to want that for themselves. So that's a really great witness, by living a more abundant life. Let's turn to John chapter 3. The next one is our right to an everlasting life. John chapter 3, verse 16, the football verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life." But have everlasting life. So we have the right to hope. It doesn't matter what happens in this life, because we know that we're going to live an everlasting life with God. And even if our life is awesome now, it's going to be even more awesome when Christ comes back. And even if it sucks now, well, that's okay, because it'll be awesome later. You know, if we think about this, if we think about this everlasting life that we're going to live, we can get through any situation. Because the worst thing that could happen to us is death. And we have victory over death. Because if we die today, if Christ comes back tomorrow, we're just going to get up again. So that's amazing. I mean, there's no situation in this life that can bother us because we have victory over it. And that's a really awesome right. So the last one we're going to look at is in Ephesians chapter 1. And this is our right to all spiritual blessings. Just in case you didn't think you had enough rights. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So God's just saying, okay, guys, I gave you all this awesome stuff. Oh, and I gave you all spiritual blessings too. So he's not holding anything back from us. I don't even know what this means, but spiritual blessings sound really awesome. I mean, I know they're better than any other type of blessing because the spiritual realm is the best one. So we've got it all, and we need to start claiming what we have, because as citizens of heaven, we have every awesome right and privilege that God could give us. And the other day, I was talking to one of my friends, one of my many Asian boyfriends that my mom thinks I have. And it's not true. I only have one or two Asian boyfriends. But anyway, I was talking to my friend, and he told me that he's applying to become a Taiwanese citizen. So he said he was filling out all of these forms, and it was taking forever. And I asked him, well, what kind of special privileges do you get as a Taiwanese citizen? And he said that he could spend as much time as he wanted in the country, and it was a lot easier to get in. And, you know, that's awesome, but think about what we have. We are citizens of heaven, and we get to stay there forever. And it's so easy for us to get in. All we had to do was believe. We don't have to fill out a single form. Like, you know, it's so easy to become citizens of heaven, to become sons of God. And that's what we need to tell people, because that's the most important place to be a citizen of. And even after we became citizens of heaven, God gave us all of these awesome rights that we can enjoy while we're here on earth. And some of the ones we didn't go over were, we're justified, we're sanctified, we're redeemed, we have no condemnation, we have healing, wisdom. There's just so many. And these are our spiritual rights. Nobody can take these away from us. No matter what the government does, these will always be ours, and they will always be true. And it's up to you to claim these rights, because we have free will. We can just live the life that we used to live. We can blend into the world and not claim any of these and just live crappy lives. I mean, that's your choice. Or you can claim these rights and you can live like a son of God, and you can live a more abundant life. So we need to start recognizing our rights and believing them and acting on them. And then people will notice and they'll want what we have. So we need to make sure we're not just agreeing with this stuff and we're actually believing it and acting on it in our lives. So this stuff is your right and your responsibility. So you need to read the word, find out what it says about you, and believe it. And it's that simple. So that's what I wanted to share. We're going to hear a teaching by Joey Hunt now.
Well, that was fun.